The following is a class given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami on December 12, 1995 in New York. The class begins with a reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd Canto, Chapter 9, Verse 30.
Yavatsaka sakyori veshate krita.
Yavatsaka sakyori veshate krita.
Prajavisage vivajami bhojanam.
Prajavisage vivajami bhojanam.
Aviklavaste parikarmani stito.
Aviklavaste parikarmani stito.
Mame samunnadha mado jamanina. O my Lord, the unborn, you have shaken hands with me just as a friend does with a friend, as if equal in position. I shall be engaged in the creation of different types of living entities, and I shall be occupied in your service. I shall have no perturbation. But I pray that all this may not give rise to pride, as if I were the Supreme. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Lord Brahma is definitely situated in the humor of friendship with the Lord. Every living being is eternally related with the Supreme Personality of Godhead in one of five different transcendental humors, namely Santa, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, and Madhurya. We have already discussed these five types of humors in relationship with the Personality of Godhead. It is clearly exhibited here in that Lord Brahma is related to the Personality of Godhead in the transcendental humor of friendship. A pure devotee may be related with the Lord in any one of the transcendental humors, even in the humor of parenthood. But the devotee of the Lord is always a transcendental servitor. No one is equal to or greater than the Lord. That is the version of the Bhagavad Gita. Brahmaji, although eternally related with the Lord in the transcendental humor of friendship, and although entrusted with the most exalted post of creating different grades of living entities, is still conscious of his position, that he is neither the Supreme Lord nor supremely powerful. It is possible that some extremely powerful personality within or without the universe may sometimes show more power than the Lord himself. Still, the pure devotee knows that this power is a vibhuti delegated by the Lord, and such a delegated powerful living entity is never independent. Sri Hanumanji crossed the Indian Ocean by jumping over the sea, and Lord Sri Ramchandra engaged himself in marching over the bridge. But this does not mean that Hanumanji was more powerful than the Lord. Sometimes the Lord gives extraordinary powers to his devotee. But the devotee knows always that the power belongs to the Personality of Godhead, and that the devotee is only an instrument. The pure devotee is never puffed up like the non-devotee class of men who falsely think that they are God. It is astonishing to see how a person who is being kicked by the laws of the Lord's illusory energy at every step can falsely think of becoming one with the Lord. Such thinking is the last snare of the illusory energy offered to the conditioned soul. The first illusion is that he wants to become Lord of the material world by accumulating wealth and power. But when he is frustrated in that attempt, he wants to become one with the Lord. So both becoming the most powerful man in the material world and desiring to become one with the Lord are different illusory snares. And because the pure devotees of the Lord are surrendered souls, They are above the illusory snares of Maya. Because Lord Brahma is a pure devotee, even though the first dominating deity in the material world, and therefore able to do many wonderful things, he would never, like the non-devotee with a poor fund of knowledge, have the audacity to think of becoming one with the Lord. People with a poor fund of knowledge should take lessons from Brahma. When they are puffed up with the false notion of becoming God. Actually, Lord Brahma does not create the living entities. In the beginning of the creation, he is empowered to give different bodily shapes to the living entities. According to their work during the last millennium, Brahmaji's duty is just to wake the living entities from their slumber and to engage them in their proper duty. The different grades of living entities are not created by Brahmaji by his capricious whims, but he is entrusted with the task of giving the living entities different grades of body so that they can work accordingly. And still he is conscious that he is only instrumental, so that he may not think of himself as the supreme powerful Lord. Devotees of the Lord are engaged in the specific duty offered by the Lord, and such duties are successfully carried out without hindrance because they are ordained by the Lord. The credit of success goes not to the doer, but to the Lord. But persons with a poor fund of knowledge take the credit of success into their own accounts and give nothing to the credit of the Lord. That is a symptom of the non-devotee class of men. This ends the Bhaktivedanta Swami. Translation and purport of text 30, chapter 9, canto 2 of the Srimad Bhagavatam in the matter of answers by citing the Lord's version. Om Tat Sat. So here we are advised to take lessons from Lord Brahma, from his example. Even though he's seeing the Lord, taking instruction from the Lord, says the Lord even grabbed his hand in a very friendly way. Even though he's been entrusted with the most important activity of creation of different types of bodies for the living entities and so on, he's praying to the Lord that he may not give rise to any false pride, that he can remain in the consciousness of being the Lord's servitor. The devotee of the Lord only wants to be the servitor of the Lord. Doesn't want to become the Lord, or become one with the Lord, or merge into the Brahma Jyoti, or something like that. Even if such things are offered, the devotee will not accept it, because they don't want anything which will interfere in their relationship as servitor and the Lord and their devotional service. The material nature is very powerful. She's the illusory energy. Lord Krishna says, it's very difficult to overcome this material nature. Very difficult to cross over. The only means that we can successfully cross over is by taking shelter of the Lord. He crosses over this illusion. And the way we take shelter of the Lord is through his devotional service. Now, devotional service is given in this universe right from the very beginning. The Sanatana Dharma has no beginning and no end. And it's meant for all the people. It's not only meant for the Brahmanas, but for the Kshatriyas and the Vaishyas and the Sudras as well. It's not only meant for the Brahmacharis or Sannyasis, but also the Vanaprastis and the Grihasthis. Just like Padma Purana is saying that the whole Varnashram system is meant for Sangsiddhim Haritoshanam. achieving all perfection by satisfying Hari. If Krishna is satisfied, everything is a success. If Krishna is not satisfied, then we're in trouble. So we try to do everything to please Krishna's devotees, his pure devotees, then we know that Krishna will be pleased. Recently in Mayapur we had this flood of the Ganges. The Ganges is very dear to Lord Krishna and Lord Chaitanya. She is worshipable at Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. When the Ganges came in this world, Shiva took her on his hair and his head, and Brahma took Ganges water in his kamandalu, his water pot. The Ganges is the Charanamrita of the Lord. His lotus foot dust is being carried in that water. And then in Chaitanya Charanamrita, Prabhupada, he wrote that in Sridhar Mayapur there is sometimes a great flood after the rainy season. This indicates that from the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya, the inundation of love of Godhead should be spread all over the world. The last flood we had was in 1987, so now it's 8 years later, just at the eve of Prabhupada's centennial. So it's like a special message, indication that now from the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya, inundation of love for Godhead should be spread all over the world. Being in an inundation, we became very interested to know what Prabhupada had to say about inundation, so we got many different quotations, and we found that in many places in our Shastra, inundation is mentioned. Lord Brahma, he's going to inundate the whole universe with the living entities that are waiting, filling up the universe with so many bodies. Different types of inundation might be there, but what is a Krishna conscious inundation? Another place in the Bhagavatam, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it mentions rather, the Krishna consciousness movement will inundate the entire world and drown everyone, whether one be a gentleman, a rogue, or even lame, invalid, or blind. The Krishna consciousness inundation is meant to encompass everyone. Prabhupada there, well, this was the direct verse. Gentleman, rogue, lame, invalid, or blind. Everyone. Gentlemen, gentlewomen, or even rogues. Everyone is meant to get inundated. And when there's an inundation, inundation is universal in its application. It floods everyone. And when the flood came, didn't matter whether you were rich or poor, man or woman, blind or had good eyesight. The water came on everywhere. Everyone's home was flooded. Every house was flooded. Everywhere was flooded. So Krishna consciousness inundation means to give Krishna consciousness to everyone. There's another quote from Chaitanya Charitamrita. When the five members of the Panchatattva saw the entire world drowned in love of Godhead and the seed of material enjoyment in all the living entities, in the living entities rather, completely destroyed, they all became exceedingly happy. It's another byproduct of a flood, is that it is a flood. If the flood is long enough, then all the seeds will perish. They rot. So periodic flood gets rid of a lot of weeds because the seeds are destroyed if the flood is long enough. So not only does Lord Chaitanya want to flood the entire world, but he wants to see the flood remain long enough that it's not only, I mean, it's flooded, then that's going to inhibit their sense gratification activities. But by continually flooding, it means that the seed of desire to want to do sense gratification will also be. Individually, we had to flood our own consciousness and keep it inundated so that the seed of material desire is eliminated by becoming Just like if you want to soak chickpeas, you have to soak it one day and then take it out of the water and then it will sprout. If you go on soaking the chickpea day after day after day, never taking it out of the water, eventually it just rots, decomposes in the water. Some people, they get a little bit of Krishna consciousness, they come out a little bit, and those material desires sprout again. So you have to stay within the Krishna consciousness environment. Create that environment wherever we are. And there's where Srila Prabhupada, he was very dynamic, and he was seeing how to get Krishna consciousness to everyone. Prabhupada, he explained that the Krishna conscious movement is not stereotyped or stagnant. It will spread all over the world in spite of all objection by fools and rascals, that much as cannot be accepted as brahmanas or sannyasis. It is an indication that the world will be inundated with Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada wasn't a stereotype. He adapted the Krishna consciousness according to the different situations. Here in the West, he, like in India, generally in the temples, in the ashrams, like it was the Gaudiya Math, Bhaktisiddhanta Saratakur, he created Gaudiya Math. In the Math, only sannyasis and brahmacharis and widows live. No unmarried women and no householders live in a mutt. Although they might have had a manager who lived outside the mutt and came and did some management for them, but he lived in a separate residence. So Prabhupada didn't create Gaudiya Math. He said he made International Society for Krishna Consciousness, and he made the Mayapur Chandradaya Mandir. Said mandirs can have vihastas, not mutts. He didn't make a mutt. And in the society, he didn't also make it mutt or monastery. So, and he allowed women as well as some grihastas to live. So in the beginning of the Krishna conscious movement, he established temples, and he explained that was his plan, was to establish temples. But then later he said that now he wanted to do the varnashram. What does that varnashram mean? That everybody in the whole society should be engaged according to where they're at, according to their status, their occupation, their qualities, their guna and karma. They should be engaged in Krishna's service. Daiva varnashram, engaging everyone in Krishna's service. So right now we just had a flood in Mayapur, but we had to flood the whole world. That's the indication given by Lord Chaitanya. Right now the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya are still going on. The Krishna conscious preaching is a continuation of the pastimes of the Lord. This is explained by Prabhupada in the Antyalila 588. Translation is, the activities of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are just like an ocean of nectar. Even a drop of this ocean can inundate all the three worlds. Purport. To inundate the three worlds with nectar is the purpose of the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The present Krishna consciousness movement is not different from the pastimes performed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he was personally present. For the same principles are being followed and the same actions performed without fail. Lord Chaitanya did Harinam Sankirtan, we're doing Harinam Sankirtan. He induced people to take up Krishna consciousness, we're also doing. So Prabhupada was saying the same principles are being followed. Same actions being performed. So this is not different from the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we may wonder, how can an inundation of Krishna consciousness be affected, or how will so many people who are involved in sinful activities be delivered? But there's no living entity that Lord Brahma has created that is so fallen that Lord Chaitanya cannot deliver him. There's no some such entity, the supreme personality of sinful man, who is so supreme that he can never be delivered by Lord Chaitanya. It doesn't exist. There's no such equal or greater than Lord Chaitanya. Don't think that anyone is greater or equal to Lord Chaitanya. That someone is so sinful he cannot be delivered. Everybody, whether they are gentlemen or rogues, If Lord Chaitanya wants to give his mercy, there's nobody that can stop him. And the Lord, he devised different tricks and plans how to inundate the whole world. Just like he delivered the Mayavadi sannyasis. They were completely against Krishna consciousness. They were offenders. They were the wanting to be merged into this Brahma Jyoti, or merge into the oneness, just like Prabhupada mentioned this verse. But it's explained. Lord Chaitanya's mood. The impersonalists, fruitive workers, false logicians, blasphemers, non-devotees, and lowest among the student community are very expert in avoiding the Krishna consciousness movement. And therefore the inundation cannot touch them. Seeing that the Mayavadis and others were fleeing, Lord Chaitanya thought, I wanted everyone to be immersed in this inundation of love of Godhead, but some of them have escaped. Therefore I shall devise a trick to drown them also. You see, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was really serious about inundating everyone. He took it on himself to inundate the people in India at that time. But he said he's sending his Senapati Bhakta to come and inundate the rest of the world. And Prabhupada has come to do that, and he told us that we had to finish what he started. So we need to inundate. Krishna consciousness is so powerful, we cannot imagine how powerful it is. We are reading about the glories of the Ganges, since we had the Ganges all around us, everywhere. And since we were reading different glories of the Ganges, the Bhagavatam and the Padma Purana. And there was a very interesting story in the Padma Purana. Although many glories of the Ganges were given by Narada, he was explaining how just seeing the Ganges, just hearing about the Ganges is so purifying. He said, even if you are not able to go to the Ganges when you take a shower or you're taking some water from a well and you're bathing, if you just shout out the two syllables, Ganga!
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 While you're bathing, you also get the benefit of bathing in the Ganges. Even you remember the name of Ganga, you get purified from sin. There's so many glories. Then just to illustrate, there's a story about the Dharmaswadas. You know Dharmaswadas? The devotee of the Ganges. He used to go every day and bathe in the Ganges. Worship the Ganges with aarti and puja. So one day, Dharmasev performed his worship, took his sacred bath, offered the water of the Ganges, and filled up his water pot, and he was going back to his home. In that kingdom, though, there happened to be a very sinful son of a brahmana, who was somehow in favor of the king. He was like some kind of a politician or something, that he was able to be an advisor to the king or do some works of the king, and he would exploit his powerful position to engage in all kinds of sinful activities. And he was a very mean person. He was a total atheist, but because he was son of a brahmin, he was claiming to be like a brahmana and taking some respect for that. But he was a rascal, number one. So it so happened that his name was Kalakalpa. Kalakalpa. And he was walking along the road, and there was a big bull lying there, sleeping in the road. He said, what a lazy bum, just blocking the road. And normally, you know, mostly people would have some respect for a bull. He had no respect, he just picked up a log and started smashing the bull, get out of the road, get out of here. And the bull was actually quite docile, but being hit a few times with a big log, he got a bit agitated. And he jumped up and he charged Kalakalpa, and he gored him right in the chest, and a horn went right to the heart and ripped his chest open and exposed the heart, and Kalakalpa died instantly. He was lying on the ground there, chest open, blood everywhere, it was a horrible mess. And the bull went off. So Dharma Sahib happened to pass by here, he sees someone looks like a Brahmana, lying on the ground dead, freshly, just, you know, a few seconds before it just died, you can just see that. So he had a tulsi behind his ear, took the tulsi prasadam, and took some of the Ganges water and just sprinkled it over the body of a Kalakalpa, from head to foot. And he went on. After some time down the road, he saw an amazing sight. Somehow he was able to see Yamadutas. He saw thousands of Yamadutas. But Yamadutas who were injured, some with their hands severed, their arms severed, some carrying the dead bodies of others, carrying decapitated Yamadutas. Jai Gandhavi Kirishari Nitai Golki. Wounded, cut, as if they just coming from a horrible battle. One Yamaduta was passing by, he said, "What happened to you? What's happening here?" And they said, "You don't know." He said, "No, I don't know. Please tell me, what happened?" "It was you who were coming from the Ganges and sprinkled the water of the Ganges on the dead body of the Kalakalpa. This Kalakalpa was in our special list. We were waiting for him for a long time. As soon as he died, we got the word. It's like a fire drill, you know. Yamadutas, Kalakalpa waiting. Get him now, you know. They aren't running, you know. Flying there from the hellish regions in a huge horde. This one, they were such a special one that they sent thousands of Yamadutas to get this one sinner. But Yamaduta explained, by the time we got there, we found that the Vishnu Dutas had already arrived. And they were possessing the soul of the Kalakalpa, or about to possess the soul, and take him away. So our leader, they said, "You know, what are you doing?" He said, "We're taking Kalakalpa." "How can you do that? He is a sinner. He is a liar, a cheat, a thief, a murderer. He invited some guests to stay at his house, fed him real nice, gave him something to make him sleep very soundly, and in the night while he's sleeping he murdered him and cut his body in pieces and buried it and stole all his wealth. He caused widows to become pregnant and have abortions." And like that, so many, they just listed a few of his impious activities. "So, he belongs to us. We're going to take him to hell and we're going to make him suffer like he never suffered before." The Vishnudutta said, "Well, whatever you're saying, it's very good. I mean, it's true. He was a great sinner. But he was sprinkled by the holy Ganges water and the Mahaprasadam coming off from the tulsi, the Ganges water. Simply by the touch of the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu, Lord Vishnu's lotus foot dust, his Charanamrita, is the holy Ganges, he was purified from all of his sins. And now we're going to take him back to the spiritual world." "I mean, what do you mean? Just by touching the Ganges water to him, he got purified from all his sins? That's ridiculous! He should suffer in hell! We're not going to take that! We want him! We want to make him suffer!" And the Yamadutas started coming, moving in on the Vishnudutas. And the Vishnudutas, they said, this is really something. You are all supposed to be representatives of Dharma. And you're offending the pure devotee of the Lord, Ganga Mai? You're underestimating her potency to purify sin? You're trying to understand her with your limited, mundane brain, and you're offending her? So you're offenders. And if you can offend her, that means you're also offending the Supreme Lord Vishnu. And you're also coming to us aggressively, as if you're going to take away this purified soul. So now we are going to have to teach you a lesson. Chakra! And the Sudarshan chakras begin to activate and boom, 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 start chopping them up. Chopping, cutting legs, cutting farms, cutting heads, cutting, cutting, cutting. Choo, 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 choo. And the Yamadutas are running and running. Ah! It was a huge massacre. You don't want to mess around with Vishnudura. If they're going to take someone back to Godhead, there's nobody that can stop them. Not a Yamaduta or anybody. So the Yamaduta, he was telling this to Dharmasu. He said, well, we really got what we deserved. We were really offensive. I realize it now. We were rascal. We really made a mistake. So you don't know how powerful you are by sprinkling that Ganges water, what you did. And the Yamadutas went on. And Dharmasu, he just stopped in his track, you know. He just stopped and he immediately turned around. He went right back to the Ganges. Of course, that Kalakalpa's Atma, his soul, was taken back to the spiritual world. And Dharmasa went and immediately started offering repeated obeisances to the Ganges. Like, I really was not appreciating your unlimited potency and your mercy. And he offered her beautiful prayers, glorifying her transcendental qualities. The Ganges became so pleased with his devotion that the deity of the Ganges, she came out from the water. She's a beautiful goddess, color of moonlight. And she rides on a white Gangetic crocodile. Carries a conch, I believe in a lotus, if I'm not mistaken. I'm not sure of the two. I think it's the conch and the lotus. Conch for sure, lotus, as far as I remember. And so he prostrated himself before the Ganges and begged the Ganges for her mercy. And she said that, I'll give you a gift. You tell me what you want. What blessing do you want? She prayed, I want to have pure devotion for Lord Krishna and be able to leave my body chanting the holy names while touching your holy waters. So he got that blessing. He could leave his body while in the Ganges water, chanting the holy names and pure devotion for the Lord. Itai Gaur Sitaratma Manandi Hari Hari Bo. Then she went back in the water. We can't underestimate the potency of this Sankirtan movement. Bhagavad Gita is spoken from the lotus lips of Krishna, and the Mahatmya of the Gita says, Ganga is coming from the lotus feet, the books are coming from the mouth of the Lord. They are not less pure. In fact, they have got greater potency. So many people are getting books all over the world, hearing the holy name, hearing your radio station. So many people are getting this mercy. And the inundation is when every one who gets the mercy in turn, Lord Chaitanya gave the order, every human being should take up Krishna consciousness and give it to others. So everyone, they take up Krishna consciousness and then they also start giving it to others. Then the movement can actually inundate the world very quickly. If only the few people give people Krishna consciousness and they become friends of Krishna or appreciate it, but they don't actually become preachers, then how will we spread the Krishna conscious movement so quickly? I mean, could you imagine if Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur didn't engage Srila Prabhupada in publishing Back to Godhead and didn't engage him in preaching Krishna consciousness because he was a householder living in his home? He didn't hesitate to tell Prabhupada when he was a householder that you spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. And while he was a householder, he engaged him in publishing books. There are millions of people having our books. We have to engage every one of them to the level they can be engaged.
Not everyone is going to be a Brahmana and live in our temples. But everyone is to be engaged in Krishna consciousness. That's the order of Lord Chaitanya. Every human being, at least. To others. Can you imagine everyone you give a book, he in turn gives someone else 10 books? How much time it would take to inundate the world then? And everyone they give to that takes the book, they would give another 10? If we want to inundate the world, we need to empower all the people that receive our Krishna consciousness to in turn practice it and give it to others. To whatever level they can do it, whether some may be Maharatis or some may be the foot soldiers or whatever, but to whatever level they can do it. Many people can penetrate where we cannot. Anyway, it's a combined effort. And that's what Lord Chaitanya's movement is all about, a combined effort. Everyone has to do their part to flood the world. I mean, it's a very emotional thing to be in a flood. I don't know if you, I mean, we just went, it's very emotional, you know, it's just, it's overpowering. The Ganges just rises and rises and rises and everything is water everywhere. It's a very overwhelming, inundating experience. Nobody can escape. Even the snakes are floating in the water, right? Nobody can escape. Even if some people go up in the big buildings, they go up, still, you know, they're affected by it. They cannot totally ignore it. They can't move anywhere out of their building. So Lord Chaitanya wanted to inundate the world. That means that's what he wanted, to completely flood the world with love of Godhead. Flood Sweden, flood Russia, flood every country of the world, wherever they are, flood all the different countries. But it's interesting, where does the flood come from? The floods come from drops. The water comes down from the sky in drops and raindrops. Millions and millions and trillions and trillions of raindrops. And those drops keep coming down and down until they become a flood. So Krishna consciousness is also a gradual process. It comes by drops. But when you start accumulating millions of drops, you can get tremendous effect. Reading this morning, Prabhupada said that the sannyasi purpose for taking sannyas is to preach to householders, to take up Krishna consciousness. Of course, if a sannyasi gets enamored at all, a grihastha has got a car and a house and this and that, and so. And then the sannyasi is finished. The sannyasi is supposed to go to the householders' homes to preach to them, to take up Krishna consciousness. That's what Sukadeva Goswami went for the milk, just to purify their house by his visit. So Brahma, when he creates a universe, he does it with the power of Krishna. And the only way we can preach is with the power of Lord Chaitanya, the mercy of Guru and Krishna, being instruments in their hand. But just as much as when Krishna wants to create this universe, he empowers Brahma to do it. If Lord Chaitanya wants to inundate this universe, he can empower his devotees to do that. Shouldn't underestimate his desire to inundate the world. If we want to be instruments in his hand, he'll use us. And it's not a question of will it happen. It's simply a question how are we going to make it happen. It's like in the purport of that last verse I read. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to invent a way to capture the Mayavadis and others who did not take interest in Krishna consciousness movement. This is a symptom of an acharya. An acharya who comes for the service of the Lord cannot be expected to conform to a stereotype, for he must find the ways and means by which Krishna consciousness may be spread. Stereotype methods will never help spread Krishna consciousness. Therefore, what we are doing is perfect by the grace of Lord Chaitanya, for it is he who proposed to invent a way to capture those who strayed from Krishna consciousness. Right, someone has some creative ability, and to create means to net in the people who are straying from Krishna consciousness. We have to engage people. Maybe it's a hassle to engage people that are not fully surrendered. It's much easier to deal with people who are completely surrendered. We have to engage everyone to whatever level they can be engaged. If we don't engage them, how are they going to be Krishna conscious? Could you be Krishna conscious if you had no engagement? How could we live, you know, how many days could we live if we had no service, right? We go nuts. So everybody that we give books to that's interested in Krishna consciousness, we had to engage them, one way or another. somehow. You have to invent ways to engage them, if nothing else. And what's the better engagement, of course, is to preach to others. I mean, that's the easiest way to engage everyone. So, this is a very sublime movement. This is Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. Still going on. And Lord Chaitanya wants to inundate the whole world with Krishna conscious literature. Now at the eve of his centennial, Prabhupada's centennial. Inundate the whole world with love of Godhead. So I got a lot of insights that definitely through the combined effort of everyone, we can have, in a very short period of time, see a tremendous inundation of Krishna consciousness. But it requires a combined effort of engaging everyone. Because it's ordained by the Lord, there's no doubt about it. Jai Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki, Nityananda Prabhu ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gandharva Girdhara Hari ki, Srimad Bhagavata Chaitanya Charitamrita ki. Are there any questions? What kind of person is becoming Yamadutas in the next life? Well, that's a pretty good question. Were you interested in the job? Well, it's hard to say. It's probably mentioned somewhere in the Vedas, but I haven't seen it exactly mentioned in the Bhagavatam. Pious policeman? I don't know, I don't want to speculate. I think you got me there. Got any other questions?
You mentioned that there is no one who can who cannot be saved by Lord Chaitanya's power. We know that in the Madhva's philosophy there are some eternally condemned jivas. So it sounds like contradiction. Could you restore this?
Well, Lord Chaitanya didn't consider that the philosophy of the Tattvavadis to be complete or completely accurate. So there is a difference between the Tattvavadi concept and the Krishna conscious philosophy. We don't have any eternally damned souls. Souls can get delivered. Bhagavad Gita said that there's some souls that keep going in demonic species lower and lower, but somehow or another they're fortunate enough to come in contact with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They can definitely be delivered. Sin and karma are mundane coverings, and the spirit soul is eternal, but karma's covering is not eternal. So there's some difference between our philosophy and this Tattvavadis. There's many similarities, but there's some further development. Actually, in Madhva, he was a very liberal acharya, and he didn't say that this was the final word, but he said this is what he could realize up to now, and that it could be further developed. So it's not that everyone is going against him, because he gave the scope for his followers to further develop. I don't personally know what's exactly was said by Madhva and what was said by his followers, which was a later introduction. But when Lord Chaitanya went there 500 years ago, he commented that he didn't find the philosophy totally complete. That why Madhavendra Puri had taken initiation in that sampradaya. But then he appreciated well that they believe in Krishna and the Supreme Personality, they believe in devotional service, so they have some redeeming qualities. But that's how Lord Chaitanya's, our commentary on Vedanta Sutra is unique. We're not exactly, we're connected with the Madhva, we're coming from there, but there's some unique quality in Lord Chaitanya's philosophy, which is all-encompassing, all of the sampradayas. He unites all of them, takes the essence from everyone, and leaves beside the parts which are not absolute. Any other question? Yes, Manaji?
It you said that there will be some more cities except Mayapur than developing on this planet. So she wonders when they will start manifesting. Is it going to be something in Europe?
And all the different continents? I think Hari Keswami can say more about this, since Prabhupada personally talked to him about this topic. But definitely, now we had to develop Mayapur, that once the Mayapur is developed and underway, then it'll be very easy for the other cities to follow. As far as I understand, it's supposed to be cities in different parts of the world, and Europe is one of the major parts of the world. I couldn't imagine that would be left out. But we heard from Hari Krishna that he had personally heard something about that, so he could probably say in greater detail what were the specific quote that Prabhupada said about it. I think it's 12 cities, isn't it? 12 cities. A great plan to make 12 cities, spiritual cities around the world. So since there's only 8 continents and there's 12 cities, I think Europe's got a good chance. But he would probably know exactly what Prabhupada said if he gave up specific locations at that point. Any other question? Yes?
You mentioned the other name of Prabhupada, something Sena Bhakta. I didn't get it exactly. What was his name?
Senapati Bhakta.
What does it literally mean? And where is it coming from?
It's coming from the Chaitanya Mangal. The Lord Chaitanya said he was going to distribute love of Godhead and flood the whole of India, of Bharata. But he was going to send later his Senapati Bhakta would come and bring that Krishna consciousness to the distant countries where sinful people were living and flood the rest of the world. So Senapati means literally general. Bhaktivinoda Thakur translates Sena meaning the soldiers and Pati meaning the protector of the soldiers. Sena meaning devotees and Pati meaning protector of the devotees. But it's like Senapati Bhakta means like a devotee who's commanding the forces of the devotees, like a great leader devotee coming, lead the charge for flooding the rest of the world. So that he would come and spread the Krishna consciousness to the Western world. So it seemed to indicate Prabhupada, since he was the one who brought it to the rest of the world. How else would it indicate? Last question.
Is she in Panchatattva going to be installed for next centennial celebration?
There's going to be an installation of Panchatattva deities. But the Panchatattva, small Panchatattva, which will be installed at the beginning of the year, and by the end of the year, the big Panchatattva. There's going to be small deities which will be used, so it taking some time to make the deities. So the small ones are supposed to be ready. We're trying. They're trying their level best for the opening and the of the centennial festival. And then the big deities by the next Gaur Purnima. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.